We were talking about inexcusable. Inexcusable is unjustifiable. Therefore, thou art unjustifiable, O man, or talking about human being. I like Romans because it really deals with carnality, flesh. Thank you.
It's on.
Thank you, sir. I got it plugged in real good, too. Whatever. We're going to go anyway. Therefore, so I'm an inexcusable old man. Romans deals really explicitly with the old nature. And that's what a lot of people don't want to deal with. They don't want to deal with the old nature. Because if you deal with the old nature, then you have to look in the mirror and recognize that it's you that's making mistakes and screwing up and not somebody else. He says, therefore, thou art unjustifiable. Whosoever thou that judges or do decide mentally or judicially to try or condemn or punish someone else. The church is punishing each other. You know, and it's a shame that we're doing that, especially since God called all of us into ministry. It's not fair that if I say that your ministry ain't right because I don't like what you teach, or your ministry ain't called of God because I don't like the way you preach. You know, that's between you and God. It don't have nothing to do with me. If I got a problem with it, then I need to get up and leave. I don't need to sit there and be judgmental. Because if I'm sitting there being judgmental, then not only am I not getting nothing out of it, then somebody close to me is not going to get anything out of it, because they're going to pick up on my bad vibes and my bad spirit.
Amen.
You know, folks don't believe that, but it really happens, you know. So we have to be careful. That thou that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. And we have to be careful because it comes back to us. You know, it comes back to us. What if you read Romans goes to that one scripture, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he what? He gonna reap it. And in most cases, I found in some of the scriptures here that it's not just talking about, it's talking about time and space. Amen. And when it talks about time and space, it's talking about space here and time in another dimension. Thank you, Tony. And we're one of the places that we're actually trying to get to.
Right.
And it's heaven. So it's important that if you don't have anything good to say, don't say nothing at all. If you don't have anything nice to think about, then you need to go to the bathroom and pray yourself through.
Right.
Amen. Because it's too much of it going on in our churches where we are condemning another person, not thinking that it's going to come back to us. And it does. For thou that judgest doeth the same thing. How you going to judge me and you doing the same thing I'm doing? We just don't know you doing it. Amen. You see what's going on in the church world today? We getting up preaching against homosexuals and come to find out we doing the same thing.
Wow.
There's got to be some type of change or transformation. You know, we spend all our time judging people instead of just teaching this word the way that God commanded that we teach it. And when we start doing that, you'll see that the body of Christ will start coming together in unity. And then we'll be unified. And once we become unified, then we'll have power. You know, them disciples, they all didn't get along. But they believed in, Paul believed in minding the same principle and saying the same thing. That's why he had problems with different disciples. Because they didn't want to say the same thing. But we're going to have to learn. It says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. We are sure. We know for a fact that the things that we do, the judgment of God is according to the truth. It's the truth that's going to judge us. And when we allow the truth of God to judge us, we can look at ourselves and realize there are some changes we need to make. Amen. You know, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. There are some things we need to do to make ourselves more presentable, not to man, but to God. Amen. So if you make yourself presentable to God, then God will take care of the rest. So it is so important that we understand these things. But we are sure, and I like it because he says we. That means we have to all come together and understand at the same time that we're sure. And you can't be sure if you don't know who you are in God and who God is in you. Amen. And most times we don't. We don't have any clue who God is in us. You know, we know that he died, he rose again, that we might have to be saved and have salvation. And the first thing we do when we get up to testify, I'm Holy Ghost baptized and all this stuff. And then I go right out in the parking lot, you done bumped my car, and I'm going to let you have it. Where your Holy Ghost at? Oh, you must have left him in the church. Oh, you dropped him off, you put him on the shelf. And now you're going to go back and get him after you done your dirt. God is saying we are inexcusable. We can no longer make excuses for our attitudes, for our things we do to one another, the things we think and the things we say. We can no longer make excuses. There's no room for excuses. Because God is the one that's going to judge against everything according to the truth. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them that do such things, and doest the same. Thou shalt escape the judgment. Thou shalt actually not escape the judgment of God, or theos. You know, we talk about theos a lot, meaning that that's the Godhead that's in us, the Spirit of the Lord that's in us. Well, a lot of times, I've been judged by the Word of God from within. So I don't need you to tell me that I'm wrong. I sense that I'm wrong. Why do I sense that I'm wrong? Because of the truth that lives within me. Oh, tell me. Now, you know you was wrong for doing that. You know you were wrong for saying that. You know you were wrong for thinking that. The truth will, that's why it says, and the truth shall do what? Make you free. We like to use words. We like to self-interpret. We'll go, the words will set you free. Well, anything that's set free can be recalled. That's why it says it makes you free. That means that you are inexcusable, unjustifiable. You don't have an excuse for it. Amen. So, oh, thinkest thou this, oh man? Since he said, oh, thinkest thou this, because that's what we do. We live according to God by our senses and not according to the word. We live by our emotions. Why? Because we're human. We live by our feelings because we're human. We live by sight and what we hear because we're human. But there comes a time in our life when we have to bring that under subjection to the power and the word of God. And Paul is saying, oh, thinkest thou this, O man, that thou judgest with do such things, and do it the same thing. That's because we didn't convince ourselves that we're a little bit better than that person. So if we do what they're doing, it's not as bad. Oh well. Amen. And do it the same that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. Oh, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to what? Repentance. When it talks about the long suffering and the forbearance, it's talking about morals. It's talking about morality. And the church has forgotten that God has certain morality or morals that he wants us to live by, and this is character and his nature. And it's not going to be easy. If you thought it was going to be a breeze, you had already missed out. You know, I have figured I'm saved and got baptized and in the Spirit of the Lord, man, this thing about to get easy. It got harder. It got a lot harder because now I'm realizing that I spend more time judging myself because of myself. Not knowing that or not understanding that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, to the goodness of God. You know, and that's the nature and the character of God. Leadeth you to what? Repentance. And repentance is important because repentance means that you turn away from it and you don't go back to it. Because God is that good. Oh, taste and see. And the only way you can taste him is to touch him. And if you touch him, then you'll see him. And if you see him, then you know that he is a reality and not just a figment of your imagination. Which will cause you to do what? It'll cause you to press harder toward the blessings of God. Amen. And repentance. And we'll turn away from those things. Or at least we'll try to.
Amen.
We'll try to. We'll live according to the word of God. And we'll try to do our best to turn away from gossiping. Or turn away from backbiting. Or turn away from being judgmental. Or turn away from different things that separate us from the very power and the anointing that God has demonstrated in our lives. Do you have any idea how powerful God is that he saved you? I realized how powerful he was when he saved me because I assumed that I was unsavable. I didn't hear that one. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself. But after thy hardness, you know, we get hard. We think we hard anyway. You know, we want to get hard because we want to let folks know that even though I'm saved and born again, you can't run over me. Instead of sometimes just turning away and walking away and letting it go. But after thy hardness, and if you look at the word after, it's not talking about beyond, but it's talking about in the midst of. Right in the midst of your hardness and your impotence, heart treasures up, you done treasured up or you done locked in your spirit unto thyself, wrath against the day of wrath, and the revelation and the righteous judgment of God. Meaning that you have become callous and stubborn. Because we spend too much time listening to who? Us. It makes us callous. And you know how you feel about calluses. If we have to, we'll get us an emery board and we'll sand that bad boy down. We'll soak it. We'll do everything we do want to try to do to get rid of that callus. It ain't the fact that it's bothering us, but it's there. We have become so callous with other born-again believers that it don't matter if they've ever done anything to you. They just happen to be in the same room you were in. We had a situation where he went someplace to minister and he sat in a certain seat. Well, that certain seat belonged to somebody.
So they thought.
And it's just like when over there across the street, when they start putting folks' names, if you pay for a pew, they put a little name, put your name on the back of the pew. Well, you dare not sit in that pew. Especially in front of that name. If it was in the middle of the pew, that was their pew. And they didn't have to tell you, I bought this. Who are you buying buy for you? Or you buy for the saints of God? Or you bought it because God determined or that you buy it? And that's the way we have come. I love that commercial. This commercial has been on forever. And every time I see it, it just cracks me up about the, not the pancake, but the waffles. Where the brother come out and want to take her waffles. You know, and he tells her, your name ain't on them waffles. And then she turns over and goes, bam! She done took the syrup or the jelly and wrote her name on the waffles. And you know what he said? Finally go, okay. Okay, your name on it. That's the way we are with God. God's name is in and on us. So when we stop judging and looking at people in a different light, we can go, bam. God's name is on us.
Amen.
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 Because we stop hiding those things or treasuring up. You know, treasure, when you treasure up stuff, it's like having a vault. You done locked up things in your heart against folks and against people that have hurt you or done stuff to you or discriminated against you. You done locked this up in your heart. And we seem to think that I forgave you, but I ain't gonna forget. Well, you ain't forgave. I found that out. If you're gonna forgive, you gotta forget about it and move on. As long as you hold on to it, you may never forgave them. You'll find out because they'll come stand in your face and you'll give them that look. You better go on and get it. Amen. So the revelation or the revealed knowledge of God shows forth the righteousness or the righteous judgment of God. And when we talk about the righteous judgment of God, we're talking about the right standing in God because of the God that's in us. That's what makes you in right standing with God. Ain't nothing you can do to make yourself holy.
Amen. Amen.
But it's a God in you that is holy. Amen. And as long as you live by his authority, his dominion, and his rules, that's what makes you whole. Nothing you can do. It says in verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. There we go again. That takes us right back to what? Be not deceived. God's not mocked. And when it talks about deeds, it's letting us know it's talking about every man. Render. Mean to render or recompense unto every man. That means individually you. So you will be held accountable for what you do. Not for what your mother or your father or your brother or your cousins did. You will be recompensed for what you do. That's why you have to be careful about what you do. It says according or prepositionally, it means down. And that's what we're talking about in place and time. So it's a firm possibility that you'll be recompensed for the deeds that you do in your body here and there.
Come on now.
Amen. Amen.
Now, this is the part I have trouble with. To them who by patient continuance, meaning that you continue in patience. I am very impatient. Not going to lie to you, going to be completely honest with you. I had my knee completely done and I thought the next day I could be able to go do what I wanted to do.
And had no pain.
I believe in God. God, you come on now. I've been faithful in a few things. You said you blessed me with the much. Getting rid of this pain is part of the much. But in all of that, Lorraine, I'm thinking maybe God's trying to teach me patience, continuance. And when I checked it out in the Greek and the Italian, it says patient endurance. It means cheerful or hopeful of the endurance that you have to deal with. So that means that whatever it is you're dealing with, you have to be cheerful. See what I mean, Pastor? Working on that one.
Working on
that one. You know, I say to myself, when the last time I went to the doctor, he says, oh, what a great job. You know, just pat himself on the back. What a great job he did on my knee. Because, you know, he took x-rays and everything that come together. The knee is strengthened. But then he drops the bombshell on me. It's going to hurt for another 5-6 months or maybe longer than that. But that's okay. You can now go ahead and just enjoy your life. I'm not going to enjoy my life in pain. And then when I was reading this, it says, the way you do it is through cheerful and hopeful endurance. The cheerful part is knowing that God is still God. The hopeful part is the fact that it will eventually go away. That's endurance. I say, Romans, you're just too messy. You just messed me up on that. And then it says, in well-doing, seek. That means regardless of what you're going through, you got to do it cheerfully.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord Jesus. And it, with endurance. And see, the thing about the word seek, when we say seek, like it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. When we read the word seek in that scripture, we assume that it's talking about look for God and all of his righteousness. But the word seek means to worship. If you worship first,
yeah.
If you worship first God, you don't have to worry. But we done forgot how to worship. The reason we done forgot how to worship because we done forgot how to be diligent in the things of God and be faithful Amen. To ministry and to God. Amen. That's what worship is. Worship ain't when you lift up your hands and tell God how great he is. You already know that. I think that's called praise. Worship is when you lay down your life for the kingdom of God. And you have cheerful endurance for all the things that you're going through. And you can still raise your hands and give God praise.
Amen.
Amen. Seek for glory. Worship for glory. Or an honor. And you can translate worship. If I worship God in spirit and in truth, guess what's going to happen to me? I will live for God because he'll live through me by the character and the nature of our Father.
Amen.
But I got to learn to worship first.
Amen.
And then it goes on to talk about immortality, meaning incorruption. That means you can't be corrupted by you. Not you. That's not saying I can't be corrupted by Brother Russell because I can't use him as an excuse, so I can't be corrupted by him. But I can be corrupted by my own thoughts. I can be corrupted by my own ideas and my own principles. That's what corrupts me because it makes me look at you in a different light. Makes me feel different about you, whether you did anything to me or not. It makes me feel different about you because of what I heard somebody say about you instead of listening to them, and I should have told them to be quiet. Right.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm looking for immortality. I'm looking for eternal life. Amen. I'm looking to share the theos of the revelation of who God is in me forever. Mm-hmm. Not just here,
Amen.
But forever.
Amen.
Amen. Then it goes on to say, but unto them that are what? Contentious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, we can get there.
Yeah.
We can become very, 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 very contentious. Mm-hmm. meaning we have contention. Contention, or you're not, you haven't found a way to be content. Paul said, I have learned to be content in whatever state that I am in. He's learned the word state, contention. Content means strong, and the word state means condition or circumstance. You know, he says, I've learned to be strong. Whatever circumstance or whatever situation I go through, I've learned to be strong. But yet we still find out that he's still what? A man. Because he wants to know why you allowed this to come upon me. Why have you allowed Satan to buffet me? He's still a man.
Right.
Jesus showed us that in the garden. He was still a man. If it, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But if it be thy will.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to realize. Well, some of the things we go through, we don't understand that it's a possibility, it's the will of God, because God's trying to get you to a condition or a state of mind that you ask for. That's why you have to be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. So it's important that unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Meaning that we're going to listen to us before we listen to God. I don't listen to me before I listen to the truth. Because I'm right. And if you don't think I am, I'll prove it to you. And all that time we waste trying to prove that we're right, we've been wrong all the time. And we've stopped God from doing what he does. That's save, deliver, and set folks free. Do not obey the truth, or do not stand upon the truth, but obey unrighteousness and indignation and wrath. It's like doing a wedding. When you, in most cases, you go over the wedding vows with the groom and the man and the woman, the first thing when you get to the vows, it says, and that I promise to, this is what the woman is to repeat, I vow to obey you. They don't want to hear that. Oh, you can scratch that out of there. Oh, you can scratch that out of there. Ain't no need of you even saying that. That ain't going to happen. We already having a problem. And with actuality, it ain't talking about obeying the person you're marrying. It's talking about obeying God. If you obey God, you'll make everything right. Amen. But obey unrighteous. They'd rather allow trouble to become their master. Indignation. Unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. I know a lot of ignorant folks. I'm going to let that one go, but we'll be there a while. Amen. And wrath. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also to the Gentile. That God is saying, nobody's going to escape this. Tribulation talks about pressure. You ain't going to escape pressure. And anguish talks about calamity. Everybody's going to have some calamity in their lives. That's why the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. We're trying to figure out why we go to church, pay our tithe, give an offering, try to do the right thing, and we still have troubles. Because one thing God got to do, he's got to obey his word.
Amen.
Right.
And the word of God says, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man. And when it's talking about soul, it's talking about the inner being of the life that's in you. It's that measure of faith. It's that life that God gave you. Amen. Remember how when babies used to be born, they used to smack them on their rump to get them to cry? We can't smack them no more. Now you just gotta wait. Why do you not have to wait? Because man has come to the conclusion that if you smack that baby, you change it. You change that baby's character. Yeah, I read books too, Elk Tris. Right. So, you know, there's so many things that have changed. Why? Because of the thinking. What did we say? Because of the thinking of man. We're something else. When we figure it out, we're going to be scared of ourselves. For instance, I got a friend, right? He was bowling, he stopped. But anyway, he was at the wedding setting. Now, where was he at? In Warren? Hope he ain't watching this. He was in Warren or someplace. Whatever he was going through, the police were out doing something else. Guess what he does? Jumps in the police car and takes off. What would make you do something like that except your mind is scarred? You're going to steal a police car. They're not going to catch you. We are stealing things all the time, thinking we're going to get away with it. And pressure, you know the old saying, pressure does what? You are just like a pipe. If you don't worship God in spirit and in truth, the pressure that surmounts about you or within you will cause you to burst.
Amen.
And when you burst,
amen,
anybody comes in contact with you, they in trouble.
Yeah.
They look at you wrong, and I'm not talking about out on the streets. I'm talking about in the church. I've been here 40 something years. I done seen folks get mad and cuss each other out on the second, third row. And then throw their hands up and finish praising God in the service. You'd be amazed at what I've seen. So anything's possible when we get involved in it. Amen. But he's letting you know that upon or within every soul of man. It's got to be talking about within because it's talking about the soul of man. That doing evil or creates calamity or trouble or confusion. It says, and it means the Jew, he included, and you ain't left out either, Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For what God is, I'm closing with this verse, for there is no respect of persons with God. There is no respect of persons. God is not partial to who you are or what you look like or how you talk or how you stand or how you walk. Or he's not impartial to none of that. He's not partial to that. God's just looking for a vessel that's willing to honor him in spirit and in truth. And to try and do the best that they can to live according to the truth. Now, we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to stumble. We're going to trip up. But we're going to get up, and we're going to shake the dust off of our feet, and we're going to keep it moving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
There is no risk, God, for there is none. Glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good. If you're doing good, there's no partiality.
Yay.
And when it talks about you doing good, it means you work it, or you are manifesting, or you are habitually doing the things of God the way God would have you do then?
That's right.
That means you can't do it on Monday and not on Tuesday.
Amen.
I can't love you on Monday and then decide on Tuesday that you get on my nerves. If you're going to get on my nerves, it's going to be 7 days a week. We're going to keep it moving. Amen. Everybody say that. Take somebody by the hand. Amen. The Bible teaches us that if you don't make it through Romans, you're not going to make it through none of them. Because Romans is the beginning of all teaching and instruction. And if you can't be instructed by Romans, how are you going to make it through the others? But through faith in God, I have confidence that we will make it. Because God said we will. All we've got to do is what? Hold fast to our profession of faith and trust and believe in who He is and who we are in Him. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, teach us by your Spirit and through your word not to be judgmental, Lord God, or condemn others that don't look like us or walk like us or talk like us. But Father, teach us, Lord God, give us strength and power in your Spirit that we might love according to the very power and the love of God. You said love our brothers as we would love ourselves. Give us that ability, Father. For if we have that ability, Lord God, we will be able to do the work of the ministry regardless of where we are, regardless of how we feel, regardless of what we think, regardless of what we see or hear. We'll be able to do the work of the ministry because you will always be the leader of every concept and principle in our lives. So Father, I pray for this people today, and I pray that the power of the living God will move upon them. Bless them according to your word, Lord God. Have your way in their lives like never before. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, minister to our minds. Lord God, strengthen us through your word as we open and read and study. Give us that knowledge and understanding that we need in order to live the life that you have already predestinated from the beginning of time, that you have a many-member body, just like your firstborn, or just like Jesus. Father, we thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on and give God some praise. Amen. Amen. Come on, glory to the living God. If you have an envelope for previous service, get it out.